If you would, I'm going to ask you to turn to the second chapter of Jeremiah. And I want to jump around a little bit in this chapter and read a few different verses. Jeremiah chapter 2, I want to begin reading at the 11th verse. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 11, begins with a question. I'm going to be reading some scripture today that deals with a nation. Jeremiah 2, verse 11, hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods. But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. I want to call your attention ahead to the 26th verse. As the thief is ashamed when he is found, so is the house of Israel ashamed. They, their kings, their princes, and their priests, and their prophets, saying to a stock, thou art my father, and to a stone, thou hast brought me forth. For they have turned their back unto me, and not their face. But in the time of their trouble, they will say, arise and save us. But where are thy gods that thou hast made thee? Let them arise, if they can save thee in the time of thy trouble. For according to the number of thy cities are thy gods, O Judah. They had gotten to the place where they had a god for every city, a false god for every city. Now I want to read some scripture concerning this same nation from the first chapter of Isaiah. If you would turn there and read with me in the first chapter of Isaiah, I want to read a few verses, beginning with verse 1, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 1. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. Listen to this. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger, they are gone away backward. Now, I'm going to read, and my thought today, and I appreciate Brother Jackson's testimony. I appreciate him following the Lord today, because that testimony really set the tone for what the Lord has placed upon my heart, and I really ask for your prayers today. But I want to read the fourth verse, and I'm not trying to change the Word of God, But I want to read this fourth verse again, and I want to read it in a way that I believe that it truly applies. Okay? Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of America unto anger. They are gone away backward. And I read that way because I believe the things that are said in this verse about Israel are true about America today. We have become a sinful nation. And there was a woe pronounced here by the prophet Isaiah upon that. I believe that, you know, what he said there, ah, sinful nation, you could put forth the same thought by saying, woe, sinful nation. When a nation becomes a people that are just laden with iniquity, that become a seed of evildoers and that forsake the Lord and provoke God, they're in bad shape. That nation has slipped into a place where, trust me, they don't want to be. And I'm going to talk about that today. The things that I have to say today won't be pretty. And they may be things that you don't want to hear, but I want you to consider the truth. I'm going to say this. I believe that the things that our forefathers in this nation went through, the sacrifices they made and the fight that they fought in order for us to have what we have today. Now, you can view this however you want. I'm going to tell you how I view this. I don't believe that as God's people today that we are justified to just throw our hands up and not do anything. You know, there was too much bloodshed, and there has been too much of a fight for us to have what we have for us to just let it go without even trying. And so I want you to think about, I want you to seriously think about the thoughts that our brother, Brother Mike, shared with us today. One thing that I want to mention about God, one of God's great attributes is that He never changes. God never does change. In the book of Malachi, in the third chapter of Malachi, in verse 6, God said, I am the Lord, I change not. And He doesn't. In Him there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God is the same as He has always been. And we find in the Scriptures that God does not tolerate sin forever. And we also find examples in the Scriptures, and I'm going to share some of those with you today. But we find examples that the God of heaven brings judgment upon sin. He has done that, and He still does that. The Bible talks about God as being a God of judgment. And I'm telling you that we, as I said, we have examples, especially Old Testament examples. We have examples that teach us that very thing, that God is a God of judgment. And the fact that God does not change, the fact that He was a God of judgment in these situations that I'm going to share with you in the Bible, that means that He's still a God of judgment today because He has not changed. And even though that God understands that man is of a sinful nature, that we are by nature sinners, and because of that, God sent his only begotten Son into the world to die for the sins of man, to die and to make a way that we could be saved, yet God still does not withhold his judgment when a nation just becomes willfully sinful. God will still judge for that. And so we need to remember the Apostle Peter in his writings in 2 Peter chapter 3, when he was talking about the coming of the Lord, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was talking about how that there would be scoffers in the last days that would say, "Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were, even unto this day." But he said, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, but he is long-suffering to usward, and he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Now, I'm going to tell you what I believe, that the fact that God is long-suffering and the fact that he is gracious is the only reason that he's still extending time to people today. And so, you know, thank God that he is that. But the Apostle Peter, in that in his writings there in 2 Peter chapter 3, he began to talk about the days of Noah. He began to talk about what happened in the days of Noah when God brought the waters of the flood upon the earth. And if we go back to the book of Genesis, if we go back to the sixth chapter of the book of Genesis, we find there that approximately 650 years after that God had created man on the earth, man had reached the point where it made God sick to even look at him. I mean, it grieved God. The Bible tells us it grieved him at his heart. It repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth because man had become so sinful. And I want to remind everybody today what it was that brought the flood upon the earth. It was man's sin. God looked down, the Bible tells us that very plainly, that he looked down upon his creation and he saw that every imagination of the thoughts of their hearts was only evil continually. And that was what, caused God to say, "My spirit shall not always strive with man, yet his days shall be 120 years. It wasn't because he didn't like the way they looked. It was because of their willful sin. That's all that they had on their minds. That's all that they seemed to think about was their sin. You know, the Bible asked the question there in the second chapter of Jeremiah, "Hath a nation changed their gods?" And the Bible talks in these two places that I have read about this nation of Israel forsaking the Lord. Well, I'm going to tell you that that's exactly what's taking place in our nation today. We live in a nation that is forsaking the Lord. I mean, more and more all the time, people don't care what God thinks about anything. We're going to do whatever we want to do. We don't care what God said about it in his word. Have you heard this statement by some of the people that are in a position of authority in the nation that we live in today? I've heard this statement. I'm persuaded that some of you have heard this statement. But their idea is that we ought to stop listening to these old archaic writings. We ought to stop listening to these things that were written so many years ago, and that we ought to move on. And we ought to move on to what they think is better ground. Amen? I mean, that's what's happening. If you turn on the news and you listen, you'll hear that. That's exactly what people thought. That's exactly what people are thinking. Why are you listening to those old ancient writings? But I'm going to tell you something. When God moved upon the hearts of holy men to write these things down, they're just as true today as they were in the day that they were inspired and written. And I'm telling you what, God, I'll promise you one thing, God hasn't moved on from it. God still expects from people today, according to His Word, the same thing that He has always expected. And so we read about the nation of Israel in these places, how that they had forsaken the Lord. They had even gone to the point where they had made false gods with their own hands. They had taken wood or whatever material that they use, and they had actually, with their own hands, they had actually made these idols, and they were even worshiping them and giving them the credit as being the one that had delivered them. They had slipped that far away from God. Now, the Lord, if you think about what He told the people there in the second chapter of Jeremiah, I find it really interesting what God said there. When He said, you do these things, and you say to a stock, you say to a piece of wood, you say to something that you made, that thou art my father, you give that the credit for actually being your God. But He said, in the time of trouble, you will arise and you'll call on me and you'll say, God, save us. And isn't that the way that people still are today? They don't want anything to do with God. They want to just live their life, but then their life, they get in trouble and they want divine help. And God said, when Israel did that, God said to them, where are your gods at now? Why don't you call on them and see if they will help you? I'm telling you, folks, when things begin to crumble, when things begin to fall apart, man's not going to have the answer. Man's not going to have any help. Only God can help. Ah, sinful nation. People laden with iniquity. So God looked down upon His people, upon His creation, there in the days of Noah. And He said, I am sorry. That's exactly what it means when it says it repented the Lord. God looked down and said, I'm sorry that I even made them. I'm sorry that I even created man and put him on the earth. And his days shall be 120 years. And then I'm going to bring a flood and I'm going to destroy man from the face of the earth. And as it was then, it is now. Only those that escaped, the Bible says, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And so, you know, for the most part, in the days of the flood, except for those eight people that went into the ark, God brought judgment upon them because of their sinful lives from day to day. The waters of the great deep were broken up. Rain began to fall from heaven, and God drowned them in the flood. God did that. I'm telling you, folks, that's not a fable either. That happened. That happened. The Apostle Peter wrote about it years later. And he said, by the same word, the world that now is reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. I'm telling you, when the Lord returns and He sends fire and brimstone down upon this earth and destroys this earth, it's going to be because of the sinful ways of man. That's what has always brought God's judgment upon people, and that's the way that it still is today. Why do you suppose that God sent fire and brimstone down there upon the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and burned those cities to ashes? He did that because of their sinful way of living. I'll tell you what, people, and we know the things that are being said. We know the attitude and the mindset of people today. But I'm telling you, when people just decide that they don't care what God says, they're going to do whatever they want to do, they better be looking for the judgment of a righteous God upon them, because it's going to come. It's going to come. I wonder if any of you, you know, I was born in January of 1955. And if God allows me to live about 11 more months, I'll turn 60. And I don't believe, when I was a child, I don't believe that my parents would have ever thought. I attended public school in Indianapolis, where I grew up. And I don't believe that my parents would have ever even imagined such a thing as one state, even one state in this nation that we live in, passing a law that would allow children, because they are confused about their gender, that would allow a boy, if he's confused about his gender, that would actually pass a law to allow him to use the girls' facilities at school. But if you don't know that happened, it happened. That law actually passed. Even to the level of high school. Even if a high school boy says, "I'm confused, I feel feminine," he is allowed by law to go into the girls' locker room. Isn't that horrible? You know what? When I heard that, I almost threw up. I mean, it made me sick to my stomach. I was taken back. I mean, I was emotionally affected by that. I couldn't believe that I heard that. And listen, don't think that these things are not going to have a snowball effect, because they are. Sin breeds sin, evidently there's just a madness that's in the minds of people. There's so many people, like I said, that just don't care what God has to say about anything. And those that do care apparently are not saying anything about it. Those that are concerned, apparently, we have just been too silent. I don't believe that in my childhood, I don't believe that my parents would have ever imagined one nation, or one state rather, in this nation, actually making it legal for a man to marry a man, or a woman to marry a woman. I don't believe they would have ever considered such a concept. But now, in the day that we live in, folks, listen, it's not one state. A third of the states of this nation have done that very thing. I'm telling you, the term there that we find in Isaiah chapter 1, where he's speaking about Israel, and he said, "Ah, sinful nation," fits us to a T. I don't know how you feel, but I'm very concerned about what's happening right before us. You know what? Some of us, if things continue, if something doesn't change, if things continue the way that they are, I'm telling you, it's going at a rapid pace. And I mean, it's really picking up steam. And some of us Well, I mean, we may not be here to see it. But what about, what about if God continues to allow time to go on? What about your children and your grandchildren? What about those that will come after us? We need to let our voices be heard, don't we? We need to brainstorm. I'm telling you, I don't know all the answers. I believe that we need to brainstorm and we need to share our ideas with each other as much as we can, because whatever we can do, we need to do it. And I'm telling you, if there's ever been a time as far as our nation is concerned, that we need to be lifting our prayers up to God, that we need to be crying out to God. Folks, I'm telling you, we need help. We need help. We need divine intervention. We need something that only God is going to be able to give us. Hasn't it got to the point, aren't you almost afraid to turn on the news? Aren't you almost afraid to read the newspaper because of what might happen next? We heard about, you can sit there if you want to and you say, oh, it'd never come to that. Israel probably thought that too. I would have never thought the things that are happening now. I would have never thought it would have come to this. Did you? Israel got to the point where they worshiped or where they sacrificed their kids to the false god Molech, the fire god. We heard about that during our winter Bible study, and you can read about that in the Word of God. They actually got to the point where they sacrificed their own children to the fire god. Well, we haven't done that yet, but I think in the teachings that have taken place in this country, we have sacrificed our kids on the altar of evolutionary teachings. We have. We've exposed our kids to so many things that are not true. I'm afraid that the young generation today, and I believe there are people here today that'll back me up in this, but I'm afraid that the younger generation today, the children in our schools today, they're really not even getting the true story about American history, about what really happened. They're not being taught a thing about the influence that the Baptist had, the people of God had upon the early years of this country, and how that it was shaped and molded by the things that the people of God stood for. You know, there used to be a time, you can go read about it in American history, there used to be a time when the politicians, there used to be a time when the leaders of this nation, when they were getting ready to pass some kind of legislation, it was important to them what the Baptist people would think about it. I mean, it was important to them. I wonder what the people of God will think about this. They couldn't care less now what we think about it. We got problems, and we need help. We need help. We need to be used of God. We need to yield ourselves to God and say, use me however that you can. Our freedoms. You know those things that our soldiers went and died for? Our freedoms, remember those? They're being taken away from us at a rapid pace. There's a law right now. I'm not sure exactly where it's at, but there's a law right now that there's people right now striving to pass a law that if a minister discriminates and won't perform a marriage ceremony for a same-sex couple, he's in trouble. Yeah, They're trying to get everything in the world passed. And I agree, Brother Jackson, don't you sit for 1 minute and think that those things won't come right here to our doorstep. They already have. Some already have. If there's ever been a time that we need to hit our knees and pray, it's now. Listen, if you're lost and you're separated from God, I urge you, not that you need salvation any more than you needed it yesterday, but I urge you to seek the Lord with all your heart to be saved. I just don't know how much longer God will tolerate it. Of course, I didn't know that before it happened either. We don't know when that day is coming. But I do know this, that God judges sin. And God is destructive because of it. And God has looked down upon cities, and he has looked down upon nations, and he has just brought his wrath upon them because of willful, sinful living. God's still the same. He's still what he's always been. And so I don't know where to even go from here. I think I'm going to ask for a song. And let's just follow the Lord. And, you know, I don't want to have to even talk about such things. But I had to follow the Lord today and what he placed upon my heart. I wish that I didn't even have to get up and say such things. But it's true, folks, and it's right here upon us. It's right here upon us. We as a nation, I'm talking about as a nation of people, we have left God far behind us. Far behind us. And the sinful minority is the ones controlling everything. They're controlling everything. That's not right, is it?
No.
I mean, it's never, you know, it should never be minority rule. That should never be the case. Well, let's stand and sing. Just follow the Lord.
Number 67.